Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit corin.com.
This week on a special bonus episode of Meat and Three, we find out how Brexit could be changing the way that Brits eat.
If you're not getting your food from the European Union, where Britain gets 30% directly, well, where are you going to get it from? As I put very succinctly, bye-bye fresh peaches from Italy, hello tinned peaches from Florida. Bye-bye fresh oranges, hello tinned oranges. Bye-bye free-range beef, hello hormone-injected beef.
Tune in to hear about the UK's struggle to stabilize its food system on Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, welcome to Japanese. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, a food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is so mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Kazushi Sakai, who is a sushi head chef at Kyoya, the iconic Japanese restaurant in East Village, Manhattan. And sushi began to draw attention around the world in the U.S. around the 1960s, and the popularity probably has seen exponential growth since the 1980s. So I'm sure it was unimaginable 50 years ago that many Americans eat raw fish on a daily basis. And Katsushi came to New York in 2004 after working in Ginza, Tokyo, which is the capital of greatest sushi restaurants. He built his career from assistant to head chef to head chef himself at the legendary Sushi Den in New York, and he also worked at the Sushi Ginza Nodera and the Sushi Nakazawa, two of the most reputable sushi restaurants in New York City before he joined Kyoya. Without doubt, Katsushi is one of the talented chefs who had been supporting popularity of sushi in New York City. So today we'll discuss how he built his career as a sushi chef, his philosophy of sushi making after 22 years of experience in Japan and in New York City in total, and he balances sustainability and highest quality of fish and much, much more. But quickly before we start, Japanese is available on Heritage Radio Network website as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify and subscribe to Japanese. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. And I have a quick announcement. So I wrote a book about Japanese food, and it recently came out in Japan in December 2019. And now it's available worldwide on Amazon website. So the book is called A Complete Guide to Japanese Cuisine, and the Japanese title is 英語でガイド, 外国人が一番食べたい和食90選. There are two titles because it's written in both English and Japanese side by side. And the book is kind of mini encyclopedia of Japanese food. And it covers 90 dishes, sweets, and beverages with fun facts along with the foundational philosophy and history of Japanese cuisine. And you can bring the book with you on your trip to Japan, of course, or to your favorite restaurant as a guidebook. And if you work at a Japanese restaurant, it can be your go-to reference. Also, if you grew up in Japan, the book is useful to explain the basics of Japanese food accurately to non-Japanese people. Or it can be a fun textbook for both English and Japanese language learners. It is available in bookstores in Japan and stores, some bookstores outside Japan, such as Kinokuniya, as well as on Amazon worldwide. Previously, it was available only on Amazon Japan, but now you can order it on Amazon website. So, again, the title is A Complete Guide to Japanese Cuisine, and in Japanese, 英語でガイド。外国人が一番食べたい場所90選。I hope you enjoy reading it. Now let's start our conversation with Katsushi Sakai. Welcome.
Nice to meet you.
So, full disclosure, I had a great dinner at Kyoya already. So it was such a memorable sushi experience at the beautiful counter. So to begin, where are you from and what did you eat when you grew up?
I'm from Saitama, near the Tokyo, in Japan.
Okay. Yeah. And did you grow up eating maybe sushi?
I like fish, seafood. So because my parents from Nagasaki in Japan, Kyushu Island. Yes. There is so many kind of seafood, fish, yeah.
Right. Well, my father was from Kumamoto.
Oh, really?
And he actually grew up in an island in Kumamoto, so it's obsessive fish eater.
But I just go to there summertime when I was kids.
Okay, right. So, okay, and so how did you decide to become a sushi chef?
After graduating from high school, I worked for a served restaurant for a while, but started working at a sushi restaurant only when I was about 24 years old.
Right. So just because you like fish so much, you decided to become a sushi chef, yes. But, becoming a great chef requires a lot of time and mental and even spiritual commitment, as described in a film like Jiro Dream of Sushi. So in your case, where did you study sushi making?
Sushi lesson in Ginza, where I worked, first started, and I'm still studying.
Okay, permanent student, right? So, you joined the sushi den Ginza,
yeah,
which is one of the most popular restaurants, and then you came to New York, right? So, as far as I understand, the sushi den was established in 1955. So it's right now it's a 65-year-old sushi restaurant, and they have 35 restaurants. Casual to high-end sushi restaurant. So it's a big company. And so you came to New York to work at Sushi Den in New York. So did you ask for it? Did you apply for the position in New York?
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Because you wanted to be a part of New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you worked in Sushi Den Ginza and Akasaka, both. So at that time, I think you had a 6-year experience as a sushi chef.
Yeah. So I was always interested in working abroad. So my favorite job was the best opportunity to go to abroad.
And it's New York City. Yeah. So, okay, and... So when you know, after 6 years working in Ginza and Akasaka and come to New York, what was the biggest difference, like something shocking to you?
So when I came just in 2004, so many people have eaten sushi in New York, since lunchtime.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't think so.
Right.
Yeah. But now, yeah.
So it's like, well, it's only 16 years ago.
Yeah.
So there's a change, I think. Yeah. Right. Because, so I said at the beginning, I think 1980s, you know, Nobu became popular and more stylish. Yeah. So people started to look at sushi as more kind of high-end, not like lunch only.
It's like the American people, it's like eat a business lunch.
Mm,
yeah.
Right. Interesting. So I think, well, nowadays, it's all-day food.
Yes.
Right, lunch, snack. Of course, dinner, and people pay a lot of money for dinner too. So, you spent 18 years at Sushiden. So, you know, 18, it's like studying from assistant to head chef and finishing as head chef yourself. Mm. So, what did you learn from the experience at the Sushiden?
This is the first time I have learned the greatness and the pleasure of working and abroad from the very beginning as a chef.
So, and dealing with, I'm sure a lot of customers are Americans too. Right. So, did you have any surprises? Like, you know, people put too much wasabi or soy sauce, that kind of thing.
Yeah, wasabi, soy sauce,
Right. But did you accommodate if they ask? Did you add more wasabi or soy sauce at the time?
Yeah, I'm just surprised.
Right. Okay, and in 2016, you left Sushiden, kind of graduated from Sushiden, I think. And you worked at Sushi Ginza Nodera and then Sushi Nakazawa, which are both in New York and the most popular, well-known sushi restaurants, two of them. So why did you decide to make sushi at different restaurants?
So I get the green card. So I wanted to experience eat other restaurants.
Are they different? Were they very different from Sushiden?
Yeah.
Because Sushiden is pretty classic,
traditional. Yeah, yes.
And I think Sushi Ginza Onodera also.
Yes, Japanese, yeah, really Japanese style.
Right, because it came from, like Sushiden, there's a parent company, and that's more like they're sending the culture to New York. But what about Sushi Nakazawa? How did you...
Nakazawa is a high-end sushi style, the worldwide retaining taste of Nakazawa's train.
Right. So do you know Nakazawa-san?
Yes, yeah.
Are you friends?
Yes, but not, yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Right. What do you think about...
He's busy.
Yeah, I know. I keep inviting him to the show, but he says, no English, please. Although he does speak English, so... So what do you think about the style of... cuisine or the ambience of Nakazawa's style?
Nakazawa's style. Yeah.
I think it's not classic, almost the opposite of Sushiden in a way. I think it's more like, to me, it's like a theater. If you go and then mostly non-American and non-Japanese customers and there's a sommelier like...
Yeah. His customer, his restaurant customer is like almost non-Japanese.
And the sommeliers, would they wear suits and then serving sake as well as wine. So did you
must
like...
That's so beautiful,
Did you like that? I mean, kind of...
Yes.
What do you think of that non-traditional style? Do you think it's a... some Japanese people might think that it's non-traditional.
Yeah.
But did you like the idea of... I don't want to really give you, put you on the spot, but I think, before the show we discussed actually that, it's just a different service. Probably it might be expanding the pie of sushi, the concept of sushi in New York. So I think your answer is yes. All right, so so let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about Katsushi's style of sushi at the Kyoya. So please stay with us. Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Corin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. Their knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan-Asian to American, and that is why they are located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Corin's Tribeca showroom is home to the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan. Stop by to view their exquisitely designed tableware and the rarest natural sharpening stones. They have a whole range of knife services, from repair and rust removal to reshaping and realigning. Corin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the highest quality Japanese design to your table so you can experience the unparalleled quality of Japanese craftsmanship in your home or restaurant. For more information, visit corin.com. Welcome back. You're listening to Japanese Broadcasting live from a studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Katsushi Sakai, who is the sushi head chef at Kyoya, the iconic Japanese restaurant in East Village, Manhattan. He has 22 years of experience as a sushi chef in Japan and in New York in total. So let's talk about your current job now at Kyoya. So you began working at Kyoya as head chef in July 2019. So how did it happen?
I had a chance to meet the owner of the Kyoya from a certain point of time, and from the time I was asked to talk to about the sushi restaurant.
Right, but Kyoya didn't have sushi before. And
yes, they had just like a press-style sushi, a right. box-style sushi. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a Kansai style.
Yeah.
Right, because what you make is nigiri, edamame, Tokyo-style sushi,
yeah.
and box sushi is
yeah.
something else. Right. Yeah, by the way, Kyoya is a very kind of speakeasy kind of
yeah
secret
yeah it's like a secret, let's say. Yeah.
Right, and that's the owner's intention, and there's no sign in Kyoya and East Village. There's a basement basically.
Yes.
Yeah, it's but it's amazing. That's one of my favorite, and the former chef, executive chef Chikara Sano, he's an amazing person,
yes.
and super talented chef. He's he left for opening his own place, I think. Yeah, but then whatever, I made a reservation. I called up and then asked to save a press sushi that was limited number per day.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm glad that now Kyoya starts serving real sushi, edamame style sushi too. All right, so, so what is the concept? I mean, what kind of Japanese restaurant is Kyoya?
Kyoya. It is a Japanese restaurant using it's like a domestic and foreign ingredients.
Mm.
Yeah.
So kind of, I don't like the word fusion, but like a Western
yes.
ingredients, like
very like traditional.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. So traditional style, but ingredients are local.
And local, yeah.
Mm. Right. So it used to be there's a kaiseki section and a la carte menu. So you can just order many different things. But what you have is a separate sushi counter, right? So why do you think, the Kyoya decided to build a new sushi counter for you?
So I get the chance from the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how do you think about he told me, that, yeah, yeah. Do you want to do a sushi bar? Like, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So probably they saw the popularity of sushi and they were thinking, and then found you. So they're convinced, I think. So, and right now, what kind of menus are served at Kyoya? I mean, your thing, your sushi menu, which we're going to talk about in a moment, but what are the other menus?
Menu, so they are doing a kaiseki course, but now I only have a sushi bar and a la carte menu. While main thing in its quality.
Right. Okay, so nothing changed in terms of that since Sono-san left.
Yeah.
Yeah. But by the way, so this company, Kyoya is owned by the Yoshida Restaurant Group, which is really the hidden foundation of everything happening almost in East Village, along with, some other great restaurants. So Kyoya's owner owns also Angel Share, which is such a cool Japanese-style cocktail bar with a big history. And Village Yokocho, Panya, Sharaku, and, of course, Sunrise Mart, which is, you can't live without Japanese food, then that's the place you go. The Sunrise Mart is one of the greatest Japanese grocery stores in New York. And also they opened a Japan Village in the Industry City last year. And the COO of Yoshida Restaurant Group, Irina Yoshida, came to the show last year too. So yeah, it's just a very exciting company. And what's really amazing about Kyoya is that they don't say me, me, me. It's really hidden, secretly providing the highest quality always. So I think it's a great place that you joined. So, so next question is about what style of sushi do you offer at Kyoya?
So leave the atmosphere of kaiseki cuisine and offer other dishes besides sushi, between sushi.
Yeah. What do you mean by that? So basically, you have menu. What's this only omakase?
Yeah.
Right?
Sushi kaiseki.
Sushi kaiseki. Yeah, yeah. Right. The omakase only.
Yeah.
So, and how many courses?
First, two or three dishes coming, and after that, five piece sushi and one dish coming. And after this, five piece sushi. Five piece after sushi coming from kitchen, grilled fish or steam, something like that.
Right.
And hand roll, two more piece sushi and soup and dessert.
Do you change it every day?
Yes, just little by little.
Okay, yeah. So the market. Right. So do you try to be traditional? What style of sushi do you offer? It's a very classic style of sushi?
Yeah, basically, yes. Classic, like a traditional. Yeah.
What is not traditional, maybe, for example?
Not like a fusion.
Like an example.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Well, I think I didn't see anything dramatically like, foie gras or caviar.
Yes. Now that I think I don't use caviar, trif.
Right.
But we have so many ingredients because Kyoya restaurant has
of course.
Meat and vegetable and everything. Yeah.
Right. So this whole group has the purchasing power. So you have a lot of ingredients. Wow, that's great. So what's the most important? What's the What do you think is the essence of great sushi for you?
So sushi is when rice and ingredients condition much well.
So meaning the quality of sushi, of the fish itself.
Yeah.
Where do you get your fish from? From Japan or?
About 85% of fish from Japan also use domestic and foreign fish.
Yeah. Right. So what's the, I mean, that's a lot of fish from Japan, but you said it's like poor quality. Yeah. Right. So what's the difference in quality? If you get from Japan, fish from Japan, what is the difference? Is that a freshness or? So I think, I think when we had a dinner, I had a dinner at Kyoya, in front of you, you said, so even the quality of fish is becoming even better from Japan, probably because this American market is growing so fast. So America, the shipment to America is becoming more kind of priority, probably like that. And so you said you're going to use, you use local fish as well?
Yes. Right. Yes, yeah.
So what kind of local fish do you use?
So I use just, so now, kind of clam and shellfish. Yeah.
Oh, because you can't get them from Japan? Mostly, or?
Clam and, I like a miruga, giant clam and oyster. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is good, in local one.
Because it's fresher, maybe.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And what kind of fish do they have to be from Japan?
From Japan?
Yeah, only from Japan, like available in Japan. What kind of fish do you get from Japan?
Kind of white fish and kind of mackerel. Yes.
Right.
Like them.
Because I think the kind of shiny fish, bluish fish.
Yes, yeah, kind of mackerel.
Because I almost never see fresh mackerel in many other places because I think it's so perishable. So you have to prepare to maintain the quality. We have to ship all the way to this country. But yeah, that's too bad. It's such a umami rich fish.
Yes.
So yeah. Okay. And you serve kaiseki, like you said, like some appetizers, two or three appetizers before sushi because it's sushi kaiseki menu. What kind of dishes do you serve appetizers before sushi?
Example, not only sushi but also Japanese food cuisine restaurant. So we use a vegetable and meat. Course also use a vegetable and fruits.
Right.
Yeah, Kyoya signature sesame tofu. Persimmon and the fig. Fig tempura.
Oh, wow.
Are also available.
Right. I remember the sesame tofu. But sesame tofu, by the way, it's not the tofu. It's a.
Yeah.
It's like a hummus.
Yeah, hummus, yes.
Right? So no soybeans.
Yes.
It's only sesame.
Sesame, yes.
Right? So that's like so rich and creamy. And I think when I had dinner there, you topped it with sea grapes.
Sea grape, yeah.
Yeah, umibudo.
Yes.
And that was amazing. And you added some yuba and tomato. That was an interesting combination. And also I think you aged bonito.
Aged?
Jukusei katsuo.
Yeah.
I think that there's a ginger. The aged bonito and the myoga, Japanese ginger.
It's not aging.
Was it not aged?
I didn't aging bonito.
Okay, right. I thought it was aged because it's so rich umami. So, yeah. And, yeah, by the way, I had a, when I had dinner, you had, this, for sushi, you served hamachi, kohada. Kohada is like another shiny fish, which is so perishable. You can almost see easily here. And that's a kohada for sushi connoisseur's favorite. And the kamasu, that's barracuda. And the kuruma shrimp, otoro. And sea urchin, and anago, and amazing tamagoyaki egg. I think you used the yam with shrimp. That was so good. And yeah, some other dishes. Anyway, so I was loved you so much. And your sushi rice is a little al dente style. I think a little firmer than regular sushi rice.
Yeah, but this is not particularly hard, but the taste of sushi rice and the fish is in the mouth, and everyone can taste it.
Right.
Not too hard.
It's not like hard, it's not crunchy or anything, but it. There are two types, I think. I like both, but one is very flaky rice, but yours is it holds the fish on top, and as I chew rice and fish together.
Yeah.
It lingers longer, and I really enjoyed that. So that's al dente style.
Yes, still studying make sushi, like cooked sushi, cooked sushi rice.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, before you created your own style of sushi rice, how long did it take? 何年ぐらいかかりました?お寿司の
寿司前完成させる。2 years.
To create all your own, with your own vinegar and salt and sugar and balance, and how much is cooked. Okay. And so you said you don't age sushi, age fish. 熟成はさせないですか、お寿司の。
I aging sushi, aging sushi fish. With kind of white fish and kind of mackerel. Mackerel, yeah. Aging bring out the taste of fish, umami. Yeah.
Right. Because the protein breaks down.
Yes.
Comes out. Like, so you don't age akami, like red meat fish, only white meat fish?
White fish and kind of mackerel.
Right.
Yeah. Kohada.
But if you aged red meat fish, it doesn't work so well? Akami wa dame nan desu ka ne?
Yeah.
Nihongo demo ii desu yo. Because I've seen Ichimura-san of the Uchu, and Chef Ichimura. He ages everything, and he's specialized in it, but I think aging fish for sushi is now kind of quiet boom in Japan here as well. So that's why I asked. But so you never tried akami yet, I guess. So, but by the way, how do you've been making sushi for 16 years in New York. So how do you describe the change in sushi culture in New York?
There are many kind of sushi restaurant in Japan. So I think there will be more, but I think only those that are suitable, the New York will remain. The thing that was there. I will try to sushi survive.
And I think with your hard work and other, you know, the same generation, talented sushi chefs, I think it's going to thrive more. That's my opinion. And so how do you compare the sushi culture in Japan and here?
I don't think it's that big difference, but there are many cheaper and more delicious sushi restaurant in Japan. So they sell also at supermarket.
Right.
After all, going to a high-end sushi restaurant is a special day.
Mm. Right. That's like, in my opinion, this New York City is like the reflection of the social structure right now. If you're rich, you can go to spend like $300 per person at the sushi place. But in Japan, if you go to a supermarket, you have sushi-grade fish at really reasonable prices. So unless the supply of fish changes, you may not get at the reasonable high quality sushi like in Japan, but who knows? It may change. And I hear that fishermen here started to be more educated gradually to supply a higher quality, more carefully prepared fish to the market because the chefs pay for it. So we'll see. I heard there's a community of sushi chefs in New York. And for example, you are friends of Nozomu Abe of Sushi Nozu, who also came to the show on episode 126. And what do you discuss when you guys meet?
He had worked together before when I was a sushi den.
Mm.
But we don't talk about sushi.
Oh, really? You just had enough of it.
So recently he's busy.
Right. He's opened his place. So the second, third year now, right? Yeah. Well, but you too, so. But how many chefs in the group? Like how many sushi chef friends do you have in New York?
Last time, I remember end of 2018, sushi, a Japanese chef coming 15.
Yeah, so that's like a gathering, like a meeting.
Yeah, meeting, end of year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Bonenkai. forget about the year meeting. So then you don't talk about sushi when you guys meet?
Yeah. The time, I talk about the sushi and the business.
Mm. So, what about sushi, like style of sushi? I'm just curious, you know, like, because I think in Japan, sushi chefs tend to be on your own and make your sushi by yourself. But here, I think people are more connected. Like, there's a network of people. And because you are, in a way, very unique position being a sushi chef in New York, so I thought this community is very strong, you know, has a very strong connection. But you don't talk anything about, like, often and... Nihongo demo ii desu yo. Yeah, I think I'm trying to ask, you know, how the group of chefs who's been supporting sushi culture in New York are thinking. So, kono sushi bunka o sasaete kita シェフたちが何を考えているのかっていうのをちょっと知りたいなと思ったんですけど。
So I think there will be more sushi restaurant, various type, both in terms of price and style.
Mm.
What I hope is that if the quality of local fish is improving that they can be used sushi and food using a good balance of Japanese and wild fish will protect the ecosystem of seafood.
Mm, right. Yeah. I think it's going to be very important. I mean, everybody really needs to have healthy food, which means you want to eat more fish, but at the same time, we have to really preserve the resources from the ocean, so right, it's kind of a big topic. So maybe next time we can talk about that.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So, where can we find you online? Any website or social media account?
I don't have a social media.
You're too busy. Okay, so listeners, if you want to know more about Kyoya, it's kyoyany.com. It's kyoyany.com. So, and listeners, and Kyoya is the Katsushi's sushi counter. Just amazing. So hope you get a chance to visit there. So thank you so much for joining us, Katsushi.
Thank you very much.
So listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for short topics or guests, please contact us at japanneeds@heritageradionetwork.org or akikotem.com. Japan Needs is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays and always available at heritageradionetwork.org, iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. My engineer is Matt Patterson, and thank you for listening. I'll see you next week. Japan Needs is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a non-profit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thank you for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.